I believe in God the Father, our Father, being lovers of the brotherhood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But how do you get brotherhood without fatherhood? Did you ever hear the old acronym BOMFOG? BOMFOG. You've probably heard some examples in your day if you've heard your share of sermons. It refers to a standard boilerplate kind of sermon like you used to get in the old days. Canned platitudes from the preacher. He reaches for them when he runs out of anything in the way of fresh thoughts. Words worn so smooth by repetition that they no longer hit their mark or wound the conscience or even provide a little nourishment for the soul. The abbreviation stands for the Brotherhood of Man, B-O-M, and the Fatherhood of God, F-O-G. The very message of the Mass this Father's Day, as it happens, both in the Epistle and in the Gospel. If you're wondering why there is so little B-O-M, Brotherhood of Man, anymore, so many bombs, so much blood, why all the babies and the families have to be killed throughout the world, state-directed terrorism at home and abroad, cover-ups and conspiracies of lies, the shouting and the shooting, and why people can't see it. Ignoramus, they cry. Ignorabimus. We do not know, and we will not know. Why do they go around in a fog if not for the want of the fatherhood of God? You know, perhaps, the drill. It's been going on for at least 50 years. Some terrible assassination, attack, bombing, mass murder. What happened? It's all sort of foggy. Stories of other shadowy figures. The second shooter? Who held the door shut? Failed warnings in advance? Rehearsals, even a carefully chosen place and time? Who gave the orders? And incredible connections scratch the surface of any of them, and you've got a government link. Coincidences, but time after time? And then, count on it, the propaganda. Louder and louder the speeches and the sound bites. It used to be against the so-called right wing, and now it is openly against the natural law. And speaking of laws, each time liberties must be lessened, citizens treated like convicts if they want to go into a public place or board an airplane. And some new law must be passed. Some kind or another of gun must be outlawed each time. Weapons, you see, are only good when exported, sold, or given away to our friends and foe alike, all around the world, billions of dollars of business. But no, you don't need any. Just the ruling classes, who will kindly tell us how we are to think and what we are to believe, and what is decent, and what is dirty anymore. And my, how they must be crowing over their latest victory, a propaganda coup. And all the little people lining up to follow and liking it on Facebook. They're saying in Cincinnati, this year we'll have the biggest parade ever. This is working out so well for them, you'd almost think it was planned. They pulled it off again, but that's the reason why there is no brotherhood of man. Nobody noticed. They're all wandering about in a fog, for there is no common father of Christendom. Not a true one, it's gone. And if there is no common father, what's the relationship? Well then, how are we brothers to each other if God the Father is out of the picture? What are we? Cogs, votes, worker ants, soldiers, cannon fodder, consumers, and that is all. Solution? Of course there's a solution. Now, they've been doing this intensely for almost 100 years, and much longer, actually. We must remember how they've won so far. They got rid of God the Father from public life and politics and education, and from private life and entertainment and Hollywood and, you know, the rest. You're not in a fog. But are there any of you who haven't wondered this past week? What's really happening? But if you want to disperse the fog, you must acknowledge the Father, God, God's fatherhood, which is our only hope for the restoration of man's brotherhood. And not incidentally, some shreds, some suspicion of your own dignity as creatures of God, adopted children of the Father and brother to the King, royalty, Jesus Christ. Our catechism today, I believe in God the Father, especially as recited in our greatest prayer, Our Father. The formal title of the Our Father, the Protestants use it still mostly, but it's a liturgical one from the Latin, is Oratio Dominica, the Lord's Prayer. But in most languages, as we tend to do, we refer to it more warmly as the Our Father. In the Latin, Father, Pater, comes first, as is only fitting. Pater Noster. Why is God called Father? Remember, review from Advent Catechism. It is the key, the fatherhood of God is, to the doctrine of the Trinity. God is a Father, which entails that he must have a Son, and because he is God and does all things infinitely perfectly, his Son is his perfect image, and he loves his Son, and his Son in turn loves him, and that love that unites Father and Son is so great, it is God. God, the Holy Ghost, three persons, one God. But why is he our Father? Audemus dicere, the celebrant will sing today after the canon. The commentators say, it's true, you know. We make bold to say, why do we presume to call him our Father? If not because he is our Creator, who made us in his own image and likeness and bequeathed to us his resemblance, as a father does with his children. Second, we call God our Father because he is our ruler and governor. He watches over and provides for our needs as a father. I had almost said, as a father used to rule over and provide for his family. We call God Father, our Father, for he adopted us by baptism, so that, as St. Paul so beautifully says to Romans, we can call God Abba, which really means Daddy, thus increasing this adoption, the resemblance between us and his Son, who is his perfect image, remember. That resemblance is stamped on your soul by the character, the indelible mark of baptism and again of confirmation. In the Creed, we say, I believe in God, the Father, but in the prayer, we say, our Father. Why? Why do we make bold to say it? To show that God is not the Father of some individuals and not others, but of all men. And thus, truly, we believe in the brotherhood of man. We are brethren, one to another by creation, first, and by christening, baptism, second. What truth follows from this? We should pray for other people, too. We should ask favors from God for our neighbor as well as for ourselves. St. John Chrysostom says that's most pleasing to God, our common Father. But why would God want us to call him not Allah, not Yahweh, and not even so much Creator or Lord, but Father, most of all? Those other titles might be, and today they are, associated with terror. Leave the terror to the governments, but not to God. Father, the mere word, should inspire love and confidence. After all, why the fuss for Father's Day? What name should be more tender, more expressive of indulgence and of love? But it is not. Let's remember, God the Father appeared to that wonderful and very talented nun in the 1930s in southern France, Mother Ravisi, to complain about this and to remind us of the truth and to ask for a devotion to God the Father. Now, can you prove the propriety of this word as applied to God? I mean, Father? Yes, you can prove it by creation. Man alone was made in the image and likeness of God. All of the other creatures, no. Not apes and not even, alas, the cat is in the image and likeness of God, but only man. Is there another proof? Indeed, the providential care of God for man, his government of mankind, that manifests a father's love towards us, guardian angel. That truth alone illustrates this principle. Now, God's providential care for us, remember, embraces sorrow, chastisements, as well as joy. This brings us to a consideration of the duties we owe to our Heavenly Father and our brothers. Two notes. First of all, ours is the full gospel and not the prosperity gospel. God's paternal care does not disappear when adversities appear on the scene. Even in the time of chastisement, the fatherly love of God. But also, today's gospel enjoins a sense of brotherhood, that we are meant even to interrupt our prayer, our sacrifice, to God the Father so as to restore this brotherhood, to reconcile with our neighbor. And all of this, mind you, is not social gospel or liberalism, but strict doctrine too. For God is our common Father in Jesus Christ, our brother. And so, actually, we are supposed to love one another and to be reconciled. Take a stab at it from time to time, won't you? Particularly if you're one of those who's got his little list, maybe their family members or church, the brotherhood of man, the fatherhood of God. Now, remember, it is by their suppression of the fatherhood of God that the brotherhood of man has been blown to bits today. But how else, except by reasserting this truth, could we strengthen poor and lonely, decent people? How else to repress the arrogance of the rich and the powerful who presume so much, who have abolished God and would reduce us, his children, to the status of slaves, and our most precious possession to be surrendered guiltily, like a handgun. Line up and give it up. I mean, our Catholic faith. Make no mistake, don't go about in a fog and be not afraid of their fear. Our masters do manipulate us mercilessly. That's the point of the media and of education and entertainment. And all according to plan. Freedom of religion has been shrunk down now to freedom of worship, barely. And tomorrow, we must surrender our Christianity, our conscience, our reason, our intellect, gifts that the good Father gave us. They must all of them go, and with it the last bits of brotherhood, and all of this at the bidding of Big Brother, who's always sending somebody somewhere out to kill. But if you believe in God the Father, if you mean the Our Father, if you love the brotherhood, you will not surrender. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.